Chapter 9. 1620 hours. August 24th, 2541. Military calendar. Zeta Doradus system. Near Camp Currahee. Planet Onyx. 4 years after Spartan III Alpha Company Operation Prometheus. Bullets peppered the dirt near Tom's head. He pushed farther back into the hole, hugging the ground, trying to be as flat as possible. The irony was Team Foxtrot had done everything by the book. Maybe that was the lesson today. Going by the book doesn't always work. Tom had led them through the forest, evading snipers and patrols of drill instructors waiting to jump them. They made it too easy. That should have been his first clue. The DIs never made things easy for them. When they'd come to the open field, he'd checked the perimeter. No one had been there. He'd waited, though, and checked and rechecked. DIs, in their Mark II semi-powered infiltration armor, were hard to spot, even with the thermal imagers in his field binoculars. Tom had then warily led his team onto the field and toward the pole with a bell. That was the mission. Ring the bell. They had had 2 hours to find and ring the thing to qualify for continued Spartan training. There were 418 candidates and only 300 slots. Not all of them could be Spartans. His mistake had been leading his entire team into the clear. They'd all been too eager. It got them ambushed. Machine gun fire from the treetops rained down on them. Adam and Min in flanking positions were immediately taken out. Only Tom and Lucy had made it to the muddy hole. It was just deep enough to keep from getting shot.
"This is crazy!"
Lucy spat through her mud-covered face.
"We gotta do something!"
"They have to run out of ammo sooner or later," Tom told her. "Or one of the other teams will show up and get us out of this jam."
"Sure they will," Lucy said. "After they ring the bell."
She squinted at the trees. "There has to be a way out of this. Automated gun turrets up there. That's why they didn't show up on the thermals." That's what the lieutenant was always saying about machines. They easily fooled the unsuspecting, but they're also easy to break. The guns wouldn't kill them, but they'd sure as heck stop them cold. With only gray sweatsuits and light boots for protection, the stun rounds hit so hard they numbed whatever they hit, legs or arms or God help you if you got nailed in the head or groin or an eye. "Nuts to this." Lucy rose into a crouching stance. Tom grabbed her ankle, pulled her down, and punched her in the gut. Lucy doubled, but she recovered fast, rolled over Tom, and got him in a stranglehold. Tom shrugged out of the lock and held up both hands.
"Come on," he said. "Truce!
There has to be a way out of this. A way with us not getting shot." Lucy glared at him, but then said, "What do you have in mind?"
"What is the point of this exercise, Lieutenant?"
Deep Winter asked. The AI holographic projection of an old man took a step toward the bank of monitors and touched the screen showing a boy and a girl pinned by machine gun fire. A crackle of ice spread over the plastic. Chief Mendez stood and swatted at a mosquito, frowning as he glanced back and forth among the 24 displays in Camp Currahee's control center. The air conditioner had broken, and both Mendez's and Kurt's uniforms were soaked with sweat. Kurt said, "Our candidates are doing well in their studies?" Deep Winter turned his glacier blue gaze to the lieutenant.
"You have seen my reports. You know they are. Since you announced their grades were a factor in the selection process, they practically kill themselves every night to learn everything before they pass out. Frankly, I don't see."
"I suggest," Kurt said, "you not worry about seeing the point of my battlefield drills, and focus on keeping the candidates on track with their studies. What could an AI possibly know about what it was like on a real mission? Bullets zinging so close over your head that you didn't so much as hear them, but felt them pass. Or what it was like to get hit, but still have to keep going, bleeding, because if you didn't, everyone on your team would die." Alpha Company had lost their team cohesion on Operation Prometheus. Kurt vowed that would not happen with Beta Company. Deep Winter ruffled his cape, and a flurry of illusionary snow swirled about the control room. The AI was likely programmed with human safety protocols, so it was natural for it to be concerned. "We don't know what they're capable of," Kurt finally told Deep Winter. "Stick with the by-the-book drills, and we'll never find out either. But put them in an impossible situation, and maybe they'll surprise us." "Short definition of a Spartan," Mendes remarked. That's what people had said about the Spartan IIs, who were the genetic cream of the crop and wore Mjolnir armor. They could do the impossible, and do it alone. The Spartan IIIs, though, would have to work together to survive. Be more family than fire team.
"Still," Deep Winter whispered, "this is cruel. They will break."
"I'd rather break them," Kurt said, "than let them go out into the field without ever experiencing an intractable tactical situation. Personally, I don't think these kids can be broken." Mendes said more to himself than to Kurt or Deep Winter. His gaze now firmly fixed on Tom and Lucy. 10 years old, and these two have so much grit, they scare the bejesus out of even me.
"Look," Deep Winter said, "what are those two doing now?"
Kurt smiled.
"I think the impossible."
"Let's go over the plan one more time," Tom said. Lucy huddled next to him in the mud hole. "Why, you think I'm stupid?" Tom didn't say anything for a moment. Then,
"Those turrets are probably using radar to target, so we fool them."
"And if they're using thermals?" Lucy asked. Tom shrugged.
"Then I hope they nail you first."
Lucy grimly nodded and hefted a muddy rock.
"So we throw these into their cone of fire," Tom said. "The small angle will make them hard to track. Maybe tie up their brains for a fraction of a second more. Then we run. Evasive maneuvers.
Try not to step on Adam and Min."
"Got it," Lucy said.
Tom grasped his rock tighter and pumped it once, working up his courage. He and Lucy knocked their fists together. They stood at the same time, hucked both rocks. Tom heard gunfire, but didn't pause to look. He ran right, then left. He rolled and tumbled and then sprinted like crazy for the tree line. He felt the dirt near him exploding with tiny puffs. Fire cut into his thigh, and his leg lost all feeling. He pushed off with his good foot and landed hard on his stomach in the tall grass by the acacia trees. Staccato bullets dotted in the ground centimeters from his prone body, but missed him. He laughed. He was just inside their minimum angle of fire. Stupid machines. He rolled over and spotted Lucy, panting and crouched in the grass. Tom waved to her, and then pointed up into the treetops. Lucy gave a thumbs-up signal. Tom hopped on one leg. Some of the feeling was coming back, mostly the feeling of pain. He stomped it out. He couldn't let it slow him down. The drill instructors might show up at any second. He pulled himself up into the lower branches of one of the acacias that shook with gunfire. He used great care to avoid the spines in the tree's trunk. He climbed up 10 meters. On a platform sat an old M202 XP machine gun, hooked up to an automated fire control. It twitched back and forth, waiting for a target to present itself. Tom reached up and disconnected the wires from the radar array, and then the power supply. The gun froze. He climbed onto the platform and unscrewed the securing bolts. He pushed the gun off the platform. It made a satisfying thud as it impacted the muddy ground. Tom climbed down. He grabbed the machine gun, cleared the barrel, and stripped off the remaining autofire control. He test-fired a burst of 3 rounds into a tree trunk.
"Awesome," he said.
Lucy was down from his tree as well, machine gun balanced on her shoulder. She moved onto the field to help Adam and Min get up.
"Come on," she said. "We still got a bell to ring."
Adam boosted Tom and then Lucy to make a human ladder. And then Min clambered up and clanged the bell. Nothing had ever sounded so good. They all climbed down.
"Now for some payback," Tom said.
"Adam, Min, take up spotting positions," he pointed. "In those trees there and there."
They nodded and ran off to the trees.
"You and me and these," Tom told Lucy, patting his machine gun, "will set up there."
He pointed to a large boulder.
I'll be there.
He nodded to the tall grass on the edge of the field.
And do what? She asked.
Well, we've cleared the field and rung the bell. I figure with the other teams getting here and ringing the bell in record times. Lucy smiled.
The DIs will come running and gunning.
The DIs at Camp Currahee were a mix of hand-picked NCOs, medics, and the washouts from the first Spartan class. The washouts always went out of their way to make the lives of the Beta Spartan trainees hell. 2 years ago, Team X-Ray vanished on a routine exercise up north. A lot of the kids said there were ghosts up there, floating eyes in the jungle. But everyone really knew the DIs had done something and covered it up. ONI even came in and fenced the place off, called it Zone 67, and declared it was absolutely off-limits. It was time to teach those DIs they couldn't get away with bullying Beta Company. Men whistled from the treetops. Teams Romeo and Echo slinked into view. Tom signaled them and explained the plan. Teams Zulu and Lima joined them, and soon 24 trainees were scattered in the trees and grass, watching and waiting. It only took 15 minutes before a whistle sounded at 3 o'clock.
There was a subtle motion in the grass on the edges of the field.
Tom signaled his scouts to fall back, while Lucy maneuvered to get a better line. Tom ran in a crouch to intercept. He spotted 3 targets, their spy armor mimicking the grass well, but not well enough to cover the parted grass at their feet. They turned to face Lucy. Tom fired, spraying at knee level where the armor was weakest. 3 human-shaped outlines crushed the grass, screaming and convulsing as the rubber bullets pelted them.
Lucy joined him and opened fire.
When the screaming stopped, Tom moved in and peeled off their armor, revealing 3 very dazed DIs. They hadn't identified themselves, so by the rules of engagement, they were fair targets. Adam ran up and helped him and Lucy strip the bodies.
Pistols and MA5Ks, both with stun ammunition, Adam said.
Lucy held up a double handful of grenades and smiled.
Flashbangs.
Now, Tom said, grinning. This really gets interesting. The moon had come out and set. The grass was wet with dew, and Tom's stomach growled so loud he thought it might give away his position in the dark. 5 waves of DIs had come and been neutralized by a now armed, armored, and fully equipped Spartan trainee defense team. The instructors were tied up in the middle of the field by the bell. Hostages. Tom and other Spartans were working together like they never had before. And they were winning. He was hungry, wet, and cold, but Tom wouldn't have traded places with anyone in the entire galaxy. He heard a rustle in the tall grass, turned, machine gun aimed waist high. There was nothing there, and nothing on the thermals either. He must be getting jumpy. A hand clamped on his shoulder, while another hand wrenched the machine gun from his grasp. Chief Mendez stood over him. At his side was Lieutenant Ambrose. Tom half expected Mendez to shoot him right there.
I think that's quite enough, Mendez growled.
The lieutenant knelt beside Tom and whispered,
Good work, son.